Oh, government involvement. Well, it's fairly certain that the Bush family has profited from the drug trade for an awful long time, and not just them, but we look at the whole gamut of the involvement of the CIA in this business going back to the 60s. You know, why was Porter Goss in Mexico? Why was he in southern Florida? And how did he go from that, being a covert guy in Latin America, to becoming the mayor of Sanibel Island? Now, everybody that lives in Sanibel Island knows that one of the most interesting catches you find off the coast of West Florida is what they call square grouper. That's nicely packaged bales of marijuana that are dumped off the coast and somehow are managed. They hit the tide right and the currents and it comes in. The whole issue, I mean, I guess one of the most bizarre things I can recall was when John Deutsch was at that meeting in South Central L.A., defending the CIA against the charges that they were involved in pumping the drugs into South Central, and Maxine Waters, who I know, she was there, she was quite upset, and rightfully so. What I can tell you about this is something that never really saw the light of day. Another mysterious suicide, as I write about, is what happened to Mr. John Millis. Now, Bush was not president when this happened. This was June of 2000. It was during the campaign. So it was a big issue. It could have become a big campaign issue. But John Millis was the executive director for the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. He is said to have shot himself with a shotgun in a seedy motel room in Fairfax, Virginia, the Breezeway Motel, known by the locals as the Sleazeway Motel. I'll give you some idea what kind of place the executive director of the House Intelligence Committee was staying in when he shot himself. John Millis, according to people I spoke to in Congress, was part of this whole issue with the South Central thing. And, you know, what Gary Webb had written about earlier, there were three investigations conducted on this. One was a CIA IG investigation. The other one was a Justice Department investigation. And the other one was an investigation conducted by the House Intelligence Committee. The first two investigations were basically whitewashes. The CIA said, no, we weren't involved in anything, and that's why Deutsch went out there to basically say, yeah, we looked at this and there's nothing there, you know, with some caveats, but basically blew it off. Justice Department obviously gave themselves, said there's nothing to this either. However, what I understand, John Millis, who worked as a CIA agent in Afghanistan during the Mujahideen War, spent 2 years at NSA on an exchange program as an executive at NSA, 13 years with the intelligence community, thought otherwise. And what happened? All of a sudden, John Millis, who really runs the committee, if you know about committee structures in Washington, the congressmen and congresswomen are not running the show. It's the staff. And we can see that with the Foley matter. It's the staff that's under the gun for that. What did they cover up for the members? But just like with all committees, the Intelligence Committee is run by the executive director. He's the one that sees to the daily operations, makes sure the clearances and all the liaison with the agencies are conducted and the hearings and everything else. Millis, all of a sudden, when he said he thought this needs to be investigated, he wasn't going to do a whitewash. He got into a big argument with Porter Goss, the chairman, and it got really serious to the point where Porter Goss pulled his clearance, Millis' clearance, which is, this is amazing at this level. Millis was a Republican. I mean, if he wasn't a Republican, he wouldn't have been Porter Goss' executive director. That's how it works in Washington. If you're in the party, you get the nice job. When this happened to John Millis, he, of course, being a professional, he knew he had an issue with Porter Goss, so he went to the ranking Democrat, who was Julian Dixon, and said, hey, look, I'm having trouble. We have something in this report. We have a draft, and it is going to implicate the CIA. and I'm catching heat from Goss. And Julian Dixon said, well, what are you going to do? And Miller seemed to indicate he was going to leak it. And then Dixon said, well, if you leak it, I owe the White House, it was Clinton at the time, I have to, as a courtesy, inform the White House if you're going to leak it, so they're not caught unprepared. It's not, I don't want you to leak it, because Dixon knew it was Goss that was covering the thing up. And obviously Goss was covering up. The other thing I wanted to mention about Millis, there's a thing called the Smithsonian Public Seminars. Millis, a couple of months earlier, had spoken at one of these Smithsonian things open to the public, where he actually stated that John Deutsch was the worst CIA director in the history of the CIA. Now, this is a public speech where the executive director is saying that about the then CIA director, who, of course, covered the thing up when he went to South Central. So we can see that there were these schisms between Millis and the intelligence bureaucracy, the corrupt intelligence bureaucracy. What Julian Dixon did was he informed the president's counsel at the time, Charles Ruff, that there was going to be a leak. But what happened? What happened was Millis had that draft with him. It's assumed he may have been meeting the person he was leaking it to at that motel where he supposedly shot himself. The draft was never uncovered. I went to the motel, and I was told by people who lived there that Van showed up, and then the detective in Fairfax City stated to the several residents, you know, if somebody comes around and asks what happened to that man in that room, don't tell him anything. The body of Millis was taken into the county of Fairfax. See, the city of Fairfax sits within the county. It's independent on everything except mortuary services. That they use Fairfax County for that. And I spoke to the head of emergency services for the county, and I said, do you know that Millis's body was moved in, and we don't know what the autopsy results were. He said, I wasn't aware that this guy was moved into my county. So there was a lot of questions about this. Postscript to it, Millis is dead. They got something out of that room. Whoever these people driving these vans, and in November, within 2 weeks of each other, the following November after the election in 2000, Julian Dixon dropped dead of a heart attack in Los Angeles, and Charles Ruff dropped dead of a heart attack in his home in Washington, D.C., within a couple weeks of one another. Maybe they were in bad health, but I spoke to people. Charles Ruff was an invalid. He had some disease that paralyzed him. He wasn't able to walk. You may remember him as one of Clinton's attorneys during the impeachment hearings. He was a man in a wheelchair. But I was told by people who knew them both that neither one of them was in very bad health. Certainly there was no evidence that they were having heart problems.
Mm-hmm.
Well, certainly it was, and I think anyone who has written the type of things he's written when a suicide occurs, my first reaction is not to believe it. And I believe he was even on record at one time. He gave an interview to Pacifica, I think the L.A. station, and said, "If you ever hear about me committing suicide, it's BS." By the way, I tell that same thing to a lot of people. I say the same thing to a lot of people in Washington, some of whom you've probably seen on television, and they in turn tell me the same thing, especially when it comes to heights and buildings and things like that. We tell each other that we are acrophobic and we do not like high places. And if you ever hear of, each other taking a dive off of a building, not to believe it. So, and I am acrophobic. I don't mind flying, and I've flown planes, but I have that vertigo issue. And so if that happens, you can rest assured it's not suicide. Yes.
Yeah,